Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region bringing you the latest headlines. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is Monday, the 13th of July, 2026. Montana environmental regulators plan to grant the Big Hole River impairment status following a petition sounding the alarm over nutrient pollution. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche reports.
The Department of Environmental Quality announced Thursday that it will list the Big Hole River as impaired because of low dissolved oxygen and an excess of the nutrients nitrogen and phosphorus. Nutrient pollution can spur algae growth that clogs waterways and ecosystems, consumes oxygen, and kills aquatic life. Impairment status helps rally more government funding and regulatory action around pollutants and their impacts. Guy Allsenser with Upper Missouri Waterkeeper says his group and Save Wild Trout first petitioned the state for impairment status last year.
The reality is it is small not-for-profits that are shouldering the burden and the duty of the government to evaluate conditions on the ground. And but for Save Wild Trout being out there showing what's actually happening on the ground, nobody would know.
Lawmakers last year rolled back strict numeric standards for nutrient pollution, and the state is now using narrative standards that include showing impact to aquatic life and recreation. The Department of Environmental Quality recently drafted guidelines for evaluating algae growth and nutrients in wadable streams and medium rivers using narrative standards. The Big Hole River already has impairments for other pollutants like sediment, and the DEQ says they're proposing the new listings as low priority because of other restoration efforts. They say they'll release the updated planning document in 2027. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
Officials in Yellowstone National Park are once again advising caution as male bison enter the rutting season. A viral video of an elderly man being hoisted 8 feet in the air in a Friday incident is circulating on social media platforms. Bozeman photographer Mike McLeod caught the incident on video as the man and his grandson were photographing the bison just prior to the attack. According to McLeod, the bison had been acting very aggressively prior to the attack. As we went to press, more information about the man and his condition have not been released. While the man and his grandson were well beyond the 25 yards established as minimum distance from bison, Yellowstone National Park is reminding visitors that bison can accelerate quickly and outrun horses. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks issued the first round of hoot owl restrictions of the 2026 summer season. These restrictions prohibit fishing during certain times of the day in order to protect sensitive fish species when the river flows are low. Hoot owls have been issued for the Sun River, Lower Madison River, Madison River above Hebgen Reservoir, and the Lower Beaverhead River. Anglers are prohibited from fishing these rivers between 2 p.m. and midnight, starting this past Saturday. State officials are asking for public input on proposed changes to recreation fees for state lands and waters. YPR's Kay Erickson reports.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks announced this week a proposal to increase fees for state parks, fishing access sites, wildlife management areas, and other FWP-managed lands. The changes would apply to both public and commercial use. Some of the changes include increasing resident state park camping fees from $18 to $24 per night and $20 to $30 per night for non-residents. FWP reports the current recreation fee structure has not changed since 2014, while visitation has significantly increased. Last year, Montana's 56 state parks welcomed more than 3 million visitors, a nearly 5% increase over 2024, and the highest visitation on record. These user fees are one of the primary sources of funding for parks and other FWP-managed lands. The public comment period is open through July 24th. FWP says any fee changes would not be implemented until 2027 at the earliest. Comments are submitted through FWP's public comment portal. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
The Columbia Falls Aluminum Company will pay $57 million to clean up its former aluminum smelter in the Flathead Valley. The site along the Flathead River is contaminated with arsenic, cyanide, and other toxins from the smelting process. Last year, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency released its plan to clean up the site. It calls for encapsulating the contaminated soil in concrete. Locals were upset by the plan, calling for the EPA to remove the soil and truck it to a specialized landfill. Federal officials say that would cost too much and would likely expose people to the contaminated soil. The public can comment on the proposed consent decree until August 6th. Then CFAC will begin the cleanup process. Missoula County Commissioners last week pressed pause on data center development. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amestoy reports they voted unanimously for a one-year moratorium on proposals.
Now we can clap.
Thank you.
The decision to freeze data center projects in Missoula County was met with loud applause and cheers at the County Commission's July meeting. It's the first policy of its kind by any county in Montana. More than two dozen people had urged the commission to adopt the pause to give the county more time to scrutinize the power and water-hungry data centers. Commissioner Josh Slotnick celebrated the moratorium, but said, quote, "The fight isn't over."
You all are going to have to exert the same pressure on the legislature, on our delegation, and go to Helena and write letters and speak your mind and do all the organizing that you've done today. You're going to have to do it again.
Slotnick foresees a tug of war during the next Montana legislative session over data center regulation. The National Association of State Legislatures reports some states are reconsidering tax incentives they'd put in place to attract data centers as public concern grows. Missoula County's only data center proposal stalled late last month. The property manager of the old Bonner Lumber Mill site pulled his support for the project. There are no current data centers proposed in Missoula County, but they're moving ahead elsewhere, including Yellowstone County. That's where AI firm Quantica is seeking to build a colossal facility near the small town of Broadview. Reporting in Missoula, I'm Austin Amestoy.
The number of recreational visitors to Yellowstone National Park fell in June compared to the same month 1 year ago. The National Park Service says about 903,000 people visited last month, a 3% decrease from June of 2025. Overall, in 2026, nearly 1.7 million people have paid a recreational visit to Yellowstone National Park, down about 1% from the same time frame a year ago. Still, that's a 6% increase over the first half of the park's record-breaking 2021. According to figures from the National Park Service, Yellowstone National Park has played host to more than 4 million recreation visits annually over 8 of the last 10 years and more than 214 million overall since 1904. State wildlife officials have banned open fires in northwest Wyoming. Wyoming Game and Fish Commission announced in a Friday news release a ban on all open fires on game and fish lands in Park County. These lands include Sunshine Wildlife Habitat Management Area, west of Meteetse, and Sunlight Wildlife Habitat Management Area, northwest of Cody. Officials remind recreators that open fires are always prohibited on game and fish public access areas within the Bighorn Basin. Since 2001, American Prairie Reserve has worked to create the largest wildlife reserve in the lower 48. That plan includes grazing 900 head of bison on state and federal lands, but legal seesawing between land managers, government agencies, and the American Prairie Reserve has put that plan into limbo. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler sat down with the Billings Gazette Outdoors editor Brett French to learn where things currently stand for APR Bison and what may come next.
Billings Gazette Outdoors editor Brett French, thanks so much for joining us today to share some of your reporting.
Thanks, Victoria.
So, tracking the legal status of American Prairie's bison has been head-spinning. What is the current status of those bison?
So those bison are currently blissfully ignorant of what's going on, but the Bureau of Land Management has ordered them to leave 7 federal grazing allotments in eastern Montana by the end of September. So chances are they may see some new movement, although that BLM order is being appealed by American Prairie.
How do these grazing leases factor into American Prairie's larger mission?
When American Prairie has bought lands, ranches across eastern Montana, many of those parcels are tied to federal or state lands when they're purchased, so that the landowner has first right to those grazing leases. So out of the thousands of acres that American Prairie has now bought in northeastern Montana, only a portion of that, about 168,000, is deeded. So that's land that they specifically own, whereas another 436,000 acres is BLM or state land that they had planned on using for grazing bison.
Can you walk us through that federal government decision this year to revoke the grazing permits for APR's bison?
BLM reversed its decision that the state office had made. The federal office stepped in to overturn the state ruling that had allowed the American Prairie to graze on 7 federal leases and said that these bison are not production-oriented livestock. And they cited the Taylor Grazing Act of 1934 as the basis for that decision. The Taylor Grazing Act was passed to try and halt ecological damage to federal lands that were occurring during the Dust Bowl, places that were being overgrazed by sheep and cattle. But the BLM has attached this new definition and said the American Prairie bison do not meet that definition, because they are mainly a conservation herd.
Now, what does that decision mean for others who manage bison populations on public lands?
Well, it's interesting because the BLM said nobody else should worry. This is specifically directed at American Prairie.
Now, there's also litigation moving around state courts. Can you tell us the most recent update we have between American Prairie bison and state lands?
One is American Prairie filed suit last year saying the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation had not processed their request to graze on 2 allotments in northeastern Montana for 6 years. The NRC said they were waiting for a decision from the BLM before acting. And so American Prairie took them to court seeking to force them to conduct an environmental analysis as required under Montana Environmental Policy Act. They got a positive ruling in their favor from the judge that that the NRC has appealed. So they're continuing on with doing the scoping for public comment, and then they have 90 days to conduct the environmental analysis. But they're also appealing the original decision. And on another front, the state land board at the beginning of the year began a process to order the DNRC to rewrite its grazing lease rules, pulling bison out of the mix of livestock and telling DNRC to rewrite the rules and not allow any bison grazing until those new rules are written. The DNRC has been told that it didn't give American Prairie enough time to comment on the proposed changes, so still kind of in a holding point for that, although the NRC has put out the proposed new regulations for comment.
Why are the results of these decisions so important to others?
This isn't a problem of bison consuming or damaging the habitat, which is why the Taylor Grazing Act was passed. This is a political fight between Republicans who see American Prairie as an elitist organization that is threatening the livelihoods of Montana ranchers.
That's The Worm for this Monday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ytradio.org.